Our scripture this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I was thinking as I was introducing Ruby a while ago, her 99th birthday. You know, that would be two and a half of Ruby's lifetimes that we have been a nation. That's pretty young, really. I was thinking about, when I was in Israel, artifacts that aren't 500 years old, at least, are not really considered artifacts, and that's twice the age of our nation. I think we're something like 242 years old, and I know that you've probably heard this, but it's kind of fun to think about again that when Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day, which was July the 4th, by the way, 1826, Abraham Lincoln was 17 years old. When Lincoln died, Woodrow Wilson was 8 years old. And when Woodrow Wilson died, Ronald Reagan was 12 years old. That's basically 4 lifetimes. Our president now, Donald Trump, I think, was 58 when Ronald Reagan died. So we're really quite young. And most said that we wouldn't last that long, that a democracy that gave the people the right to govern themselves and gave the people all of the freedom that is allowed in this country would be one that would not stand very well, because it would not naturally be balanced out with the kind of law and order that is necessary to be a people. You've got to have law and you've got to have order. Otherwise, it's anarchy. But you've got to have freedom, and that is what our forefathers and foremothers knew. We have to be free to live our life the way that our conscience dictates and the way that we believe our God is calling us to live. We have to be free. We have to be free to live as a people. Now, before that ever became an issue in a country, it was always an issue of the soul. This idea of being free, of being one who can do what it is that your heart most deeply desires, and at the same time, to have some checks and balances on a heart that has a tendency now to go in very selfish directions. And it's always been that way. Sin has always been a part of our life. And anytime that we're talking about freedom, we know that we are free to go in the very wrong direction. As far as you can go, almost. And you're also free to go in the right direction. Somewhere along the way, God said, "My people have gone in the wrong direction, and I'm going to try to send them in the right direction." And the way to do that was going to be by the law. So God gave Moses the law and said, "This is the way. This is the way that this law is the way that you're to order your life in relationship to me and in relationship to this world. You're to live by the law, and then you will have life because you will be living in my will, the will that I have for my people. So follow the law." The problem with the law, as it turns out, is that it could tell you what you're not doing right, but it can't give you the power to do right. The law can tell you what you're doing wrong, but the law does not have the power actually to give you life and to help you to live out this life that is right before God and is right before one another. And so at a point in this story, God did something else. He said, "I'm going to send something that will make the law really unnecessary. I'm going to actually send someone that is a picture of life. And all you have to do to know what life is in all of its fullness is to look at this love that I'm sending into the world in the form of flesh and blood." And so, love came into the world in the form of Jesus Christ. And every time that you see Jesus Christ, you see what you're supposed to look like. You see what you can be. You see what you have not become. And you see what you want to become. You see what you can become. The law, however, is not going to get you there. But love can get you there. And God is the author of that. And Paul is spending a little bit of time with the Galatians now to try to lay out the big difference between the law and love, between the flesh and the spirit, which we all have to deal with, every one of us. Paul says, because Christ has come, you're no longer under the strict dictates of the law. Even the law that was in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the hundreds of laws that were put together by the Pharisees and scribes and others that would help you to live out in detail the law, until their life was burdened with rules and regulations. And if you went against any of those rules and regulations, you were not only separated from God, but in order to keep them, you need to separate yourself out from everybody else too. Anybody who's not a Jew, who's not keeping God's will, you need to separate yourself from. And that's where it all sort of ended up. The law means you can't be with other people that are not in harmony with the law of God. And in every Christian community, you had people who felt kind of both ways. In every church that Paul addresses, that he planted or that he tried to help, you know, move along, you had Jewish Christians, which means that there was probably a Jewish community in places like Galatia before Paul or anybody else showed up to tell them about Jesus Christ and what God had done through the Messiah, Jesus, when Jesus came. So you have Jewish Christians, and they are well versed in the law. They know about all of the covenants that God had with all of his people. They know the law, and they know how God has expected us to live. So you have Christians that are very familiar with the law because they were Jews before they were Christian. But also in that community, you have Greeks, Gentiles, people that never knew anything about the law, who were not versed in it, who were not schooled in it, who didn't know about Moses, who did not know about the Ten Commandments or anything else. And Paul, when he's answering the question, does somebody have to be a Jew in order to be a Christian? Well, Paul's big answer to that was no. What God has done in Jesus Christ is to give us a way of having a relationship with God in our freedom. And the Jews sort of represented law and order, which we all love, and especially the more you see how far some people are taking their freedom, like in this country, to do almost anything that they want to do, and to the point where it harms many people often. But you, in addition to the law and order, you want your freedom. That pendulum kind of swings in our private life and in our public policy. Sometimes we want more constraints on freedom, and we want it to become a law, or sometimes we think the law's gone too far. We don't need to issue so many laws because we need to be free to live our lives and make the choices about our lives, even in public policy ways, with more freedom. And that pendulum just kind of swings, you know, back and forth. Paul was saying to the Greeks, you're free. You don't have to worry about the law because you have something better than the law. You have the very same presence of God that was here in Jesus Christ that is now here in the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. And it will take you everywhere that you want to go. And so Paul finds himself in a place where Jewish Christians are coming in behind him in many of the churches and telling people, if you want to be a full Christian, you want to be a full follower of Jesus Christ, you also have to keep the law, including circumcision. And it was a big issue in Galatia. Every man that wanted to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, was being told that they had to be circumcised in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, if you give into this, then you're going to have to keep the whole law, and then your whole life is going to be dictated by the law, not a relationship. Relationship brings freedom, and freedom is in relationship with God and with one another. So Paul says, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as a license for self-indulgent. As a license for selfishness. That's what they were saying. Hey, if we're free from the law, then we can do anything that we want. Don't have any moral responsibility or anything anymore because we're free from the law. And Paul says, well, if anything, you're going to have more responsibility than you had under the law. Only it's going to be dictated, motivated by something else. It's going to be motivated by love. He said, do not give in to self-indulgence, but through love, Paul says, through love, become slaves to one another. Paul was saying, slavery is a reality. You're going to be a slave one way or the other. You're going to be a slave to yourself and your selfish purposes, your selfishness, your self-indulgence. And that's the worst kind of slavery, really. What is it that I want? What is it that I can attain? What is it that I can assume? And it's all I. Or you can be a slave to love. You can be a slave to loving and caring about others. And that is freedom. In fact, you cannot be more free than when you are a slave to loving one another. That's why Paul said, all of the law comes down to one thing, and it is this one thing. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Paul says, do that. Don't try to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that's Paul's word for selfishness. It sounds more lurid than that, really, when you hear that. But that's Paul's word for selfishness, the self that is turned inward. Don't try to gratify the desires of the flesh, because that's opposed to the Spirit, and the things that the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. You've got a war going on, and it's always there. It's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. But when you're talking about the Spirit with Paul, you're always talking about love. That great commandment to love God and to love one another. And where the Spirit is, that's where you have that kind of love. And Paul is saying, now, if you're in the Spirit, then you're not subject to the law. You don't have to worry about that. But you do need to be aware of the works of the flesh, the works of selfishness. He just named off some of them. It's a list. There's a lot of lists in the Bible, really, that do this. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. It's the license for anything. There's idolatry, which, you know, you make anything else God except God, especially material things, things that human hands have made, is idolatry. Sorcery. And then you've got enmities and strife and jealousies. You have the factions and envy and dissensions, and you have those that, you know, we're most familiar with, carousing and drunkenness. You can laugh at that if you want to. You're not on that list, are you? I'm not on the carousing and drunkenness, you know, especially. But Paul gets into relationships here, and he says, no matter how small or no matter how big, when you're talking about envy and jealousy and dissensions and factions and ways in which we have found to separate ourselves from one another, then you have found yourself a slave to the works of the flesh, a slave to the works of selfishness. And on the other hand, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's no law that dictates any of this. You don't even have to be aware of the law in order to know these things, because they're all spiritual, and they all really emerge from love. You got love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The law doesn't make or take away from any of that. It is the Spirit that gives all of these gifts. And basically, this is the way that it works. Love leads to peace with those with whom you are warring against. Love leads to patience to those who are different from you, who have different ways of seeing things from you. Love leads to kindness to those that have erred against you, who have hurt you, perhaps. Love leads to generosity to those who are not as blessed as you are, and it makes you aware of them, and you find joy in actually being generous with such. Faithfulness. Do you need somebody that is in your corner, has your back, is loyal to, is committed to you? Faithfulness, like in any marriage, this is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, those who are innocent, those who are the least probably protected people in this world. Self-control. Love really is connected to all of these. And love is connected to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is connected to God. And so it means that if you want life, life is available to you. With all the freedom that you want, as long as you are a slave to God and to the life that God calls us to live in all of its fullness. And there is no greater life than that. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for the life that you have given us. Sometimes we think we can do better than you, but help us to see and to understand that you made us, and even when we departed from your will, you forgave us. And all of that was in relationship that we now have with you through Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us to be a model of Christ in this world. Pray that you help us to be in our church a model of Christ to one another, and as a church in this world now, a model of your love. We are broken in so many ways, and we have so many needs. We know that we will not even get one step forward without your Spirit, without your presence and your power at work in our lives, and without your way of keeping our attention on loving you and loving one another. But in a time when we really celebrate and value and appreciate our freedom, just remind us the true nature of freedom and freedom's secret price, which is always love. In Jesus' name, amen.